one of the anniversaries that we're celebrating this month is mine. All right. So, you know, I was missing Sherry this week and thinking about it. And, you know, it's funny to think about how close I was to not marrying Sherry. You know, I really, almost blew it. I really did. I met her. I was immediately attracted to her. I thought she was something else. I really did. You know, you know, again, depending on who tells the tale, I chased her around or, you know, it's probably that. But at the end of that night, when I first met her, you know, I was at my church and, I was a worship pastor and she had this choir there and, you know, I just showed up where she was a lot and, liked her more and more even just in that night. At the end of that night, she was leaving. I shook her hand and said, "It's really nice to meet you." No, seriously, really, really nice to meet you. And then she left. I didn't have a phone number. I got nothing. And for the next month, I agonized. I cannot tell you, you know, and you know, I mean, I was 30 some years, I was 33 years old, you know, I met lots of girls, but this one really got under my skin. And I said, for a month, I agonized. What can I do? Did I miss it? Did I miss a real opportunity with her? You know, again, I'm, you know, in my 30s now. I'm thinking, I'm getting married. I better get moving. But I blew it. It was terrible. But fortunately, a couple things happened. One, I just finally said, enough, Steve. Just have some courage here, all right? And I tracked her down. I got her number at work. I tricked the lady at the front desk. Not really tricked. I just, you know, I may have heard the story, but I just basically said, "I am Pastor Steve. I'm worship pastor at First Baptist Church. You know, your choir was there a couple weeks ago. Just wanted to follow up a little bit on your experience there." What a bunch of hooey. But I had a second chance, and I thank God for it. And now, you know, it'd be 18 years, as 18 years. It's hard to believe. But like I said, I got a second chance, and we love second chances, don't we? You know, it's kind of a, you know, part of our being a person and people. You know, we love stories of second chances, don't we? We love to hear, you know, I mean, how many movies are out there where you have this hero who blows it, is taken down, and yet has a second chance, and they're able to come out on top. I mean, I think every sports movie that's ever been made follows that line. You know, I could write every one. It's easy, you know. Does good, gets slammed down, comes back, wins, everybody's happy. We love a second chance. I think the reason that's part of us in our hearts is that we love grace. We love grace. Because it is amazing. Because grace is all about second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth and sixth and 500th chances. And as we've been looking in Jonah, we're seeing grace, aren't we? Over and over again, grace extended, grace given. And today, we're bringing this story full circle again. If you remember, when we started out, I mentioned that the author of this book wrote it in an amazing way and put like parallel pillars of this story, and we see them. And we started out with Jonah being called and running away. And then we were brought in this great sea drama and wondered what was going to happen. These pagan sailors. And then we saw a prayer of Jonah crying out to God and seeing God's grace in that. And now the wheel comes all the way around again. And if you look at Jonah chapter 3, you can see that. In 1:1, you see, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." And then you see chapter 3, verse 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah." So, and we see that. It should have set a bell. What's going on? It's the same thing. The same words. And so I want your attention to be drawn into this drama again. But have your antenna up for maybe some differences. You know, why? Why are we telling this story like this? Why did God inspire the author Jonah to construct it, to move us this way? We saw last week how God inspired the author to draw our attention by the chiasm, the structure of this poem, the psalm, to draw our attention. How is God doing that here? And help us to understand then what he's talking about, asking why. Are there differences this time than the last time? Are there similarities this time? And see if we can see what God is speaking to us now. So to that end, let's look at his word. Jonah chapter 3, starting verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Today, we're just going to touch the surface then of this turnaround for Jonah. And I just want to draw your attention to four things that I see as we re-look at God's calling Jonah. Right? Four things. Let's see where we end up. First one, I think we see obviously a difference in this calling. And first difference I see is the second time. All right. Like I mentioned, God gives a second chance. That is good news, folks. That is really good news. Throughout history, we see God allowing and having the grace to his servants because they fail, because we fail. Moses, given a chance. No, Lord, I don't want to do it. No, I don't think so. Send somebody else. I'll strike the rock. You didn't tell me to strike the rock. Whatever it is, God, because God's plan isn't dependent upon us. And so by his grace, he allows second chances and gives us the opportunities. And in that, we see that God is determined to do his will, his way. His will, his way. Peter denied Christ. That could have been the end. That could have been it. But God says, no, I want to show the world that I am God and that my grace is sufficient. And Peter came back and became a pillar, the rock of this church. The Apostle Paul, who today would take Paul's resume, killer of Christians, persecutor, and say, yeah, I think this guy is the one we want to be apostle to Gentiles. We throw that resume right out the window. But God gave a second chance. He says, you are mine, and by my grace, I will be lifted up in your life. A God of a second chance. I see here also, and the term I picked up from this guy, Sinclair Ferguson, he talked about equipping grace. Equipping grace. You know, we live in such tensions in our lives, in the Christian life. We've talked about it many times before, that already not yet, the justified being sanctified, that, you know, God changes the heart, but I must respond, and the order and all that stuff gets kind of tangled up. But we see in God's grace here with Jonah, an equipping grace. I got to wonder, when God first called Jonah that first time, that he wasn't ready. He was not ready to preach to Nineveh. He had no heart for them. And that was played out in his actions, wasn't it? And so we have this great mystery that in God's economy, it had to be this way. And yet it doesn't justify disobedience. Never take that. Don't make grace cheap. But our God is sovereign. Our God works. And so in that tension of I disobeyed, I shouldn't disobeyed, and yet he equipped Jonah, really, to be the messenger that the Ninevites needed. It's a mystery. And yet we can take great comfort in that, can't we? I mean, if Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It's all things. All things. It's all or nothing here. It's not some things. It has to be all. And that all means the pain. That all means the disobedience for his good and for his glory. I again come back to this idea of marriage and, you know, I said it's been 18 years and I will sometimes joke, you know, not with an army to Sherry. You know, it's been 16 years of wedded bliss and 2 years of not so much, right? That's reality sometimes. And I've seen God's equipping grace in my life. You know, when I say 2 years, not so much, that's real, people. And you've heard some of my story, but there was a time in my marriage where we really struggled. There was a point in 2006 where our marriage was hanging by a thread. mistakes on my part, mistakes on Sherry's part, misunderstandings, all kinds of garbage that was thrown into it. And yet, by God's grace, we made it. We came through. You know, and for a time there was about 2 months of real agony where I cried out to God every day, where I wept and wailed and I didn't understand. And we came through it. And Sherry and I today, when we think of, I think, you know what? As awful as that was, it was terrible, people. Terrible. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not. Because of that trial. And again, a lot of it was disobedience to God. A lot of it was sin. And yet, because of that, our marriage is much stronger. We can look back and see God's faithfulness. I had a time once when I was in a parking lot of a Walmart. And I was talking with a guy I kind of knew, just in passing. And he shared, you know, my wife's leaving. And I'm really down. And in that moment, I could say, I understand. And I was able to share with him my story. And I was able to share with him that there's hope that is equipping grace. Equipping grace. And God gave that to Jonah. And he gives that to us. Don't neglect or put aside or dismiss, really, the grace of God in working your lives right now. Wherever it is you right now, whatever problems you have faced or are facing, whatever stresses that are upon you, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Absolutely. Repent. Be humbled. But know that God is working always. And we see here, God called him a second time. That God is a God of second chances. The second thing I want to draw your attention to as we look at this re-entering of the story. God said, there's a message that I will tell you. Now, if you look in the chapter 1, he said, go into that great city, for their evil has come before me. All right? And here, he doesn't say evil comes before me. He says, give you the message that I tell you. Now, again, you should think. I mean, okay, why? Why didn't the author just continue the same trail of thought and do it the same way? I'm not, honestly, I can tell you, I'm not exactly sure. But it makes me think a little bit, evil's before me, but now he says, the message I give you, say what I'm going to say. And I don't know about you, but it stirs in me a thought of a change of tone, maybe in Jonah's heart towards these people. It makes me think and reminds me that we have a message, all right, all of us. That if you have called Jesus as your Lord, these words, the word of the Lord, has come to you. And we are to speak it. Now, there's the broad general of the gospel. All right, as Christians, we all have this responsibility of proclaiming Christ in the gospel. Now, that can come in many different forms. I understand that. But the message is the same. And we have the message. It is given to us. But I think also in the specific portion of our lives, that we can have great confidence that all of our interactions with people, the attendant at the gas station, you know, your mailman, your neighbor, that as a Christian, our lives, every moment that we have is a holy moment and that we have a message. Make no mistake that when people encounter you, they encounter Christ and there are no accidents and that there is a message spoken. Whether you say anything or not, every encounter is a holy encounter. God works and moves in every interaction. And we don't know everything. So I was challenged as I thought about this, of just looking at my life and saying, Lord, open my eyes. Help me not dismiss the Quick Trip counter person who, when I say, how's it going? They say, oh, okay. And knowing all that, usually they just say something good and maybe ask a question. But to step beyond the fear and have the confidence that this God of second chances is also a God of holy encounters, of serendipitous working. And that's how he does it, because then he's glorified. We think, oh, this is meaningless. And yet, as we will see, God gave Jonah a message. And it doesn't seem like much of a message. And yet it was a powerful message. So God has a message for all of us. 3. We see in this reboot then of Jonah's ministry, Jonah rose and he went. In chapter 1, he arose and fled. But because of God, bring him back to where he started, he arose and went. There was a newfound humility in Jonah's life. We sing that old chorus, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Oh, that we would humble ourselves in our mistakes. It's far too easy to be embarrassed, to think that I can't serve. I made this mistake. I can't minister anymore. Maybe there's a friend. I had a friend in college, not a believer. I knew he was a believer. He knew I was a believer. And one night we went out and started drinking, and I drank with him, and I was foolish. And I agonized because I thought, how can I say anything to him ever again? And then one day he asked me a question, and again, I about his faith, about God. And again, I said, I can't. Oh, Hatter, you know, I couldn't do anything. And then finally I just said, you know, I need to say something to you. I'm sorry. Remember that night? And he goes, oh yeah, I remember that. I says, that was wrong. And I'm embarrassed. I was foolish. And I need you to understand, and I want you to forgive me. He says, well, I never think of it. I said, I understand. But I did. And not just for me. It's not about me. I'm embarrassed because of my God. And I was so embarrassed. I felt like crawling in a hole. But because of that, I was actually able then to share the gospel with him. I mean, just to say it. Say the words and tell him exactly what's going on. And to show him grace because of the grace that was shown me. And not because of me, but because of God, about 5 months later, I heard that he gave his life to Christ. Okay? When Jonah rose and went, it was by God's grace. He wasn't broken. He was. He humbled himself, but he was not beyond use of God. And in fact, this is exactly where God wanted him to be. Humble ourselves, and God will use us. That is what the second chance is for. Thank God for that. Lastly, we have a little peek at Jonah's message. And it's very interesting. So, some guy walks into Fenimore, and you see him on the street down here, and he says this. In 40 days, Fenimore will be brought down. Now, would you expect Fenimore to react and think, oh, wow, maybe there is something there. Maybe we should do something. Would you expect that the mayor would put out a proclamation and say, hey, Fenimore, folks, this guy just told us that in 40 days Fenimore is going to be taken down. We need to do something about it. That seems crazy, doesn't it? I mean, why? What would provoke somebody to, and that's all we see. That's the message. Now, maybe he said more. I don't know. I'm inclined to think that was the message. Mm-hmm. You know, and we don't see anything about repentance. We don't see anything about God will forgive you if you come to him. Jonah just said, hey, you're going down. Good riddance. You were warned. Ha! I shake the dust off my feet at you. A couple things to keep in mind here. One is, we put ourselves there, all right? The spiritual climate of this day was one of many gods and much fear. What drove worship primarily was fear and wanting to have some semblance of a control over things. The fear that the crops are going to fail. So one has some kind of control that maybe if we could appease the God some, we'll have a good crop. Never knowing exactly what was going on. But maybe we can influence God a little bit, like in the storm. We don't know who did what. We don't know what was going on, but we'll just hedge our bets as best we can. Okay, so it was not unheard of to have someone say, oh, things bad are going to happen, you know? And people really, you know, there could have been omens. People, you know, looked at a lot of things. Was there an earthquake, an eclipse, you know, a flock of scary birds flying over, whatever it was. We don't know what's going on, but for whatever reason, the people of Nineveh, we're going to see next week, responded to this. That gives me hope. How about you? That gives me great hope. Because sometimes, well, frankly speaking, there's many times where I think, man, I just butcher this message. You know, I remember I had a young man, I was trying to share the gospel with him, and we talked and got on these bunny trails and all, and we got to the end of the thing, and as he left, I thought back on it and went, did I tell him anything good? what was I thinking? Why didn't I, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I'm grateful. And again, it's about God. And that even in this message, which is the message that God gave him, God worked. And the question that I have then is, what is our message? When someone walks through our door, what is the message? I mean, this message should jar us. There should be something in there going, isn't there more? Shouldn't there be repent? Shouldn't there be God loves you and wants you to come to him? Shouldn't that be there? I got to think that in this writing, it was put this way for that very reason, to stir us and think there's something missing. Mm-hmm. There's something missing here. Yeah. What is our message? When someone walks through this door, do they see a caricature of our faith? Far too many churches. You talk to people and it's more and more. They look at Christianity and they see rules. They see bigotry. They see hate. That's the narrative that's being spun in our world today. And our responsibility is to say, that is not the message, people. There's more. There's more. What is our message? And give the complete message. Yes, there's sin, but there's grace. Yes, there's separation from God, but there's healing and wholeness through the blood of Christ. Right. That is what we need to make sure we're communicating. God gives us a second chance. He gives people second chances. He gives churches second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth. Whatever it takes, because God has determined that his will be done his way. It was God's will that Nineveh repent and come to him. And it was his will that it was Jonah who was going to do it. God is second chances. God gives us a message. God wants us to be equipped for his glory. So I encourage you this week, as you read through Jonah, as you walk in your everyday life, think about what your message is. What is the banner over your head saying to people? Remember that in your failures, that God is working. God is working. And don't give up. Don't think that you are beyond repair or not useful. God used Jonah to turn around an entire city. That is good news. And let's encourage each other to be on message together for his glory in this town. All right? Father, I thank you so much for this story of Jonah, for imperfect, fearful, sinful, arrogant, bitter Jonah, that you brought him around to you and that you used him for your glory. God, I pray that you would use our church for your glory in that way, that we would learn and have your message out to the people of this town. Thank you for working in us. Forgive us, move us, make us your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go with God this week. We will meet together for a business meeting in a few minutes.